right, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell, brought to you by Reebok, the official sponsor of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games. I'm Blair Morrison, and today I'm joined by the one and only Ron Ortiz.
That sounds perfect.
Ortiz.
Ortiz.
Ron is a master's athlete. He's a Reebok athlete. He's been a part of all these summits that I've been to.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember hanging out in Miami the first year. You're such a cool guy, such an engaging guy. You're the first one to kind of welcome someone into the room and make conversation. You're like a big Papa Bear, you know? So anyways, I'm really happy you're on, man. Thanks for making it happen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I have to tell you, Blair, first off, I mean, I say this a lot, but I'm just blessed to be here, you know, be involved with such an amazing group of young, incredible athletes, the people that they surround us with. The Chris Henshaws, the the Jesse Burdicks. I mean, we are able to be touched by so many different people, and every day I go to the gym, it's just like, you know, it's just the realization of where we've come from as a group of CrossFitters. You know, where Coach kind of brought it from, and to where we are today, what has grown into, how it's afforded opportunities, even for like this podcast, for the smallest company to come up through the ranks, the rogues,
right,
and become like
giants.
Giants. Yeah. It's amazing. So, absolutely, I'm blessed. I really am.
And, I mean, and you specifically, I mean, you're the only master's athlete here at Reebok. I mean, you are like the master's brand for Reebok. I bumped into you at Mustard Seed Mayhem for Mustard Seed at Rich's house, training in his garage, doing your master's qualifiers.
That was kind of scary.
That was kind of scary. but you're always there. You're like, you're almost like the, I mean, one of the flag bearers for the master's division.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about what that means to you to kind of have, to be that face.
Yeah. It's funny because I don't recognize it as that. I've been blessed to be able to, again, be invited to those things. And that's what happens. Oftentimes it's one of those things that, the opportunity comes up and I just wrote a post and it's just like, you know, when opportunity presents itself, you got to grab on with both hands. You don't ever look at something and go, oh, maybe I'll do it next time. Cause next time it may not be there. So is again, and I'm saying it a lot, but I know as blessed as we are to be where we're at, take advantage of those things, grab a hold, both hands and, you know, pull it tight. Being able to be in the atmosphere again, the picture was me at the pool with like all the girls and swimming, and there's Chris in between us coaching us all. We don't get those opportunities every day in life, so we have to take advantage of those things when they come about. But as far as like, you know, I started the same way just about everybody else did. You know, your first workout in the gym. Trying to do what you can do. The opportunity came up for the open. And I was doing that for kind of selfish reasons at the time. I was trying to get in shape because I had high blood pressure. I had a lot of other things going on. And, I was like, man, I want to collect full pension here.
Right.
I don't want to die early and not get this stuff. So, a lot of that came about for selfish reasons. And as I started going through, it's just like, you start coaching and you start touching people's lives. And then, you, as an athlete in college and everything like that, you still have a desire to compete. And the opportunity came up through the games in 2011. And I continued and it's just kind of, you know, snowballed like CrossFit in general.
Right. Well, give us a little bit of a background on you. You said you played sports in college.
Yeah.
I know you're a firefighter down in Florida.
Yes.
Give us like a little bit of a rundown of like who Ron Ortiz was before CrossFit.
Absolutely. So I start pretty far back, probably early days. I was a swimmer. I swam probably from the age of about 5 till I was like 14 or 15.
You got the height for it.
Yeah.
Those of you that don't know what Ron looks like, he is a mountain of a man. He is big and long. So I could see you being a great swimmer.
I was back in the day. Now it's a little rougher. Chris laughs at me in the pool sometimes. But so I swam until I was about 15, and then, you know, it wasn't cool And you had to wear the Speedos.
Was it cool to wear the Speedos?
Yeah, was it wasn't cool. So I actually started with track and field and then football and wrestling and did most of that. And then graduating from high school, I actually graduated with a scholarship to go throw the javelin.
Really?
Yeah.
So wow.
We didn't have javelin in school, but I got there and the coach was like, oh, you're going to be a good javelin thrower.
You're going to be a good javelin thrower. Yeah.
So he tried that and initially he was like javelin. Then he goes, you're going to be an amazing decathlete. And the funny story is, so he's like, all right, so let's get you out on the track and I want you to try and, you know, run 100 for me. So I get on one end, he's on the other and he gives me the go and I take off and I get to the other end and he goes, so let's try that again. I want you to go a little harder this time. I'm like, well, shit, I just went hard.
I don't know what to talk about.
And I got back on the other side and I'm telling you, I thought I was like flying. I get to the other end and he goes, you're going to be an amazing javelin thrower.
Yeah.
That was the end of my decathlete career right there.
That's great.
So, so I did that. And then.
What school was that at?
That was a junior college in Arizona, Pima Community College.
Arizona.
Yep.
Okay.
In Tucson. And then, so I went to the University of Arizona 1 year, took some classes. And I actually started traveling quite a bit. I traveled for about 8 years. And then I met my wife. And we had kids. And during that time, you know, as you start having kids, you have to make decisions. Good. You have to make decisions on what you're going to do with your free time. So the kids kind of take up a lot of time. And, you know, we had always kind of promised each other we'd try to stay in shape and stay healthy. And, you know, kids kind of they everything goes to the back burner. So we would still run. We'd jog at night. We had the stroller with – we'd pile all the kids up in the stroller, like 4 kids in this little jogger stroller, and we'd do that around the golf course. And
was this in Arizona?
That's in Miami.
It's in Miami. So yeah, you're living in Miami now.
Yep, in Miami. And so we did that for quite a while. I mean, it was about 4 years, and then we ended up moving from there to Jupiter just for job. You know, it was a little bit easier traveling in traffic and stuff. So we did that. Kids got involved in swimming. And here we're starting to get a little bit heavier and frumpier, and my blood pressure's going up. And
frumpier?
Yeah. You know, it happens. You get to about 40 and stuff, you're going, gosh, I got to change something. So we're sitting at the pool one night, and I'm looking at my wife. I was like, you know, I'd seen the CrossFit Games. Actually, I watched Kalipa, and I was like, I could do this. I could do this. This right. would be amazing. And so we wanted to get involved in CrossFit, but there was no gyms. I'd say in Florida, there was maybe 2 gyms at the time, and none of them were actually CrossFit gyms. They were actually an independent company that had come down.
Sure, right.
So we decided, instead of watching the kids at the pool while we're waiting, we're going to go to the gym and work out, and we'll try these CrossFit workouts in the gym.
Oh, nice.
Not well received.
No, I'm sure not.
No. You start throwing the ball against the wall and making the marks on the wall, and your feet are on the wall, and they're like, what are you doing? Look at the marks on the wall. You can't have the weights that long. Somebody else wants to use them. So we ended up hooking up with a buddy of ours that had equipment that had been in a CrossFit gym in like Georgia. And he brought some of the equipment down. He goes, hey, you want to work out the house? And I was like, yeah, bro, let's do this. And he goes, all right, 6 o'clock. I'm like, 6 p.m. Sounds good. And he goes, no, 6 a.m. I'm like, oh, I don't know. His first workout was, we didn't even touch a barbell. It was 100 burpees for time.
That was your first workout.
Oh, my God. Horrible.
Dude, you know, we still do that at our gym as like a benchmark, a reoccurring one. And that's, I mean, it's always really miserable and hard. Like the last.
It took forever.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think I was there probably. We start at 6, and I think I was there till like 8. Like trying to finish this up. But that was kind of what hooked me in. And soon after that, we had the first Masters Open. The first Masters, I think they opened up the 45-49 is what it was.
Right.
And I was like, I'm going to try this.
Because before it was just 40 and over.
Yes. Right. 50 and over.
50 and over.
50 and over, yeah. So I tried it. I did fairly well. Went to the games that year. Met Freddie Camacho, China Cho out there in the back parking lot, in the back 40. And that group of guys, we've still keep in contact. We actually have a like a little bit of a group Facebook pay thing that we text back and forth around the open. It never happens outside that. I can tell you it's like dead still. And as soon as the open starts to come, we all start like bantering back and forth. So,
well, that brings me to my next question. There's like definitely a camaraderie that's built within the master's yeah. group of competitors, and not even just you guys that are at the top, you know, the elite athletes, but maybe master's athletes in my gym or yeah. people that are, you know, over 40 that are like, you know, you young whippersnappers, you know, and like anybody who's like a 39 or younger, they're considering young,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
but there's definitely a, kind of like a tribal connection
yeah.
with the master's athletes. Where do you think that comes from?
Man, I'll tell you, I think part of it is what, again, what CrossFit's kind of created in the community. You know, you suffer together, you become like closer. And that's compounded. I think it's compounded with age. You know, you look over and you see a guy your age, like struggling with you, just like any one of the young people, but there's a closer knit. I think maybe we're a little more established, a little less apprehensive about meeting people at our age and stuff. So there's an immediate connection to like, man, this guy's, I'll immediately go up to people. I don't care who you are. Like I said, man, I look at them and I go, I know where you're coming from. I've been there. So, you know, however I can help, you let me know. And I think that's what it is. It's just we have that that immediate camaraderie.
Yeah, and there's probably, like you said, at an age you have a little more maturity, right, where you're not really worried about pretense.
No,
hey, man, yep. this is actually a really cool thing that we're doing together, so yeah. let's share it,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I think there's also, at least, I'm 34. Ben, our other co-host who's not here, unfortunately, he's 34, and we talk a lot about this with some of the early 20s athletes that we see
yeah.
you know, come on the show. There's just a respect that's kind of given for someone who's a little bit older.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just more impressive, honestly. It's more impressive that you, Ron, are doing what you're doing yeah. at your age
yeah.
than it is even for us to watch, you know, someone like, you know, Ben Smith doing what he's doing at age 26. It's just yeah. like, yeah, he's like one of the top two or three CrossFit athletes in the world every year.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Absolutely, man.
But add, you know, 20 plus years to that, it's like, man, there's a lot of kids and careers, and there's a lot of stuff that could get in the way and yeah. derail that,
yeah.
you know, that path. And to see guys like you, Freddie, like Annie Sakamoto,
Sean Ramirez
every year, it's yeah. like, God, man, it's really impressive.
Yeah. There's definitely, you know, in there, there's a sacrifice that we definitely make. I mean, there's I have a very good friend of mine from the fire department with me, and he's just coming over to the 35 age range. So he wants to participate in the games. And for like 3 years, the past 2 years, he had actually participated on our team, and he had had an injury. So he had to stick out 1 year, but 1 year, you know, they really struggled. They had one guy that was really not kind of trying to adjust to what needed to be adjusted to, poor mobility or whatever it was. And his wife at a certain point said something, and it really stuck home with us. She's like, I'm not going to let you waste our family time to do what you need to do to get to the games if everybody on the team is not on board. And so as a master's athlete, the way I kind of like, you know, and relaying that to that is that there's a lot required. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, they're older, they don't have to do quite as much. Well, guess what? I mean, the time that we spend in the gym, because I know I talk to Sean and I talk to Annie, and Annie uses the same programmer as I do. I'm looking at just in my gymnastics an hour and a half a day, just gymnastics. And that's outside of my lifting and whatever Jason Layden gives me on the outside of that. So I'm 4 to 5 hours in the gym.
I mean, that's yeah. a part-time job, man.
Yeah, it is. And it's afforded because of the fact that I'm a firefighter and I have that free time. And but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. There's a lot of dedication. Don't ever think, and I don't want any one of these master's athletes to think that we don't have to quite do as much, because there's time involved in anything that you do that you want to be good at. You know, God kind of says, you know, anything you want to do, you make that a priority in your life. That's the dangerous part, because with family, there has to be that equal share of time. But I was blessed because my kids are all athletes. My wife is athletic, and even now, she's like so understanding of what I do, man.
Right. That makes a huge difference.
Huge. I couldn't do it if she didn't understand.
Yeah. Well, speak a little bit more about that, what it takes. What are some of the pitfalls, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe something that's not so obvious for someone who's, you know, now 35 or over, but like, you know, in that 40, 50-year-old age range at a regular CrossFit box somewhere in the country listening to this, or somewhere in the world listening to this, and they're like, you know, I love doing the open. I want to see how good I can get. I have that competitive drive. Like, what's the process like?
Yeah.
What do they need to do? What do they need to not do?
Number one, and this is, I try to emphasize this now even more so, is the fact that coming into it, a lot of you'll maybe have strengths and weaknesses. But the biggest thing is making sure that you take the time to prepare your body with mobility, being smart with your lifting. You can come in. I've seen guys are just stupid strong and they'll lift so much weight, but soon enough they get hurt because they're doing something incorrect. You could be as strong as an ox, and if you're not doing things correctly after a certain amount of time, and you know this, I mean,
oh yeah,
time over in perfect form is going to create a big problem.
Yeah, that's a problem at any age, but it seems to be heightened.
Absolutely.
The older you get, right? Because you just don't recover as fast.
Absolutely.
Don't bounce back from injury.
Absolutely. So, and that's a key thing. So I mean, I've suffered through injury. I think part of what allows us as masters athletes to become like a little faster at healing is continuing to work out. Cause I think our body produces endorphins and stuff that will help it heal. A lot of people get hurt and they immediately kind of like recluse back and go, I'm going to wait. All of my PTs and stuff have always been like very aggressive and going, I want you to continue to do something. I had a shoulder sling on after I had a slap tear in my arm, and I was like literally had a harness on and I was pulling like doing the mile sled pull.
Oh,
like
no
within
way.
Like, yeah, within like 3 weeks after. He's like, just don't move it. So I think that helps healing fast. We just have to be smart.
Yeah. I mean, that just the idea of circulating blood throughout the whole system, right? Mm-hmm. Which CrossFit's great at.
Yep.
You can actually get blood to your shoulder with a slap tear by pulling a sled because.
Absolutely.
Your whole body is working, right?
Yes.
And I think circulation definitely decreases with age.
Yes, absolutely it does. It can be profound if you become sedentary. That's the dangerous part is that, so as a firefighter, and I'll kind of relate it to that a little bit too, we have a lot of guys that get hired and they become very sedentary in what they do. And it's sad because it doesn't promote good health, obviously. Sitting around watching... But we do that sometimes as an excuse because it's like, oh, no, we never know we're going to get a call. But we got to be prepared, right, at all times. And the same type of thing with us as athletes. Kind of prepare yourself for any possibility that can come up as far as our body goes. But if we stay healthy, eat well, nutrition's a huge thing too. We all know that. And then also just having a really good supplement program, making sure that you're taking fish oils. For master's athletes, I mean, telling you, fish oils – I've even found a couple deer antler products that are legal. They are legal.
Right. That's the IGF, right?
Yep. So you can do there is one, what is it? 10 Institute, right?
I remember, what was the name of it?
10.
10?
10, yeah, 10 Performance.
Okay. And I haven't heard of that
then
one.
Then there's also Lurong.
Lurong we've heard of.
Yep. And Lurong, and now that's one that when I had my shoulder surgery, I took quite a bit. And it seemed to help. I mean, honestly, I'd go back and my doctor was like, bro, you're healing up crazy good. So I'm not, you know, recommending one over the other, but I'm telling you they're out there and they're very good products.
Like if you are injured as a master's athlete, this is the type of thing that will help you heal faster. Yeah.
I'd say the fish oils are a big, big, big thing. And master's athletes don't realize just to prevent injury too. That's like a good fish oil product is going to help tremendously.
Right.
Kind of lubrication in there. So
yeah. All right, so you got to take care of your body first, which goes down to mobilizing, taking the time to kind of get the body work done, right? Obviously, eating right should go without saying for anybody of any age, and then some targeted supplementation.
Absolutely.
What about the actual, you know, exercise portion of it?
Like, okay.
Do you think the master's athletes need to be spending as much time in the gym as you do?
So if their goal is to try to get to the games, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's you can't, I think we have to be smarter in our workouts. I've been under coaching that's like, it's like a shotgun blast of like, everything and you go 110% and you're just wasted. And the next day you come back and you're exhausted. Or there's one that targets like certain points every day. You're smart about what you do. And each point has a plan. And I think as masters athletes, we need to be very careful and use that type of programming that's going to be specific to what your weaknesses are. Find a coach that's going to do that. Like Jay is my coach, Jason Layden. And he gives me the things that I need to do. I turn those things back into him, and then he follows up on that with a new programming. My gymnastics coach does the same thing, Duke Van Vliet. He knows me very well. And he knows what I need to work on. I send him videos. He recaps.
It's got to be just handstand push-ups all day long, right?
Yeah. Muscle-ups are – I'll tell you, it's funny because muscle-ups are tough. Anything the long arms have to deal with
right.
is, you know, it's one of those things. But I'll tell you, he crushes me with handstand push-ups.
Yeah.
He does. He does. And it's helped. I mean, every little bit of that, it's just like it's like tenfold. Once you start to put in the time. So absolutely. So as far as programming goes, be smart. Don't do competitive programming if it's not something you're going to do. Use your local box. I'm sure your whatever coach you have is very smart, intelligent, and they're using a platform that's going to be healthy for you. And as you want to get into it and get more serious about it, you have to look at the 1 hour a day is not going to do it.
Right.
not to take you to the games. It won't do it. It might work for Spieler.
Right, yeah. We're going to find out.
Yeah, we're going to find out. I know, that's what he said. I told him, I go, Chris, you come to the dark side? And he goes, whatever 1 hour a day will get me, we'll see what happens. So
yeah, right now he's spending at least 3 hours a day on the mountain skiing. So
yeah, that's good. That's good. I'm hoping we'll see those guys transition over. I really do. You guys, that's going to – it's not that we're not legitimate already, but it's going to legitimize because you have a lot of the OGs. You have the Spielers, the Chans, the Neil Maddox. You have Miko Salo. You have these other athletes that are all in that age group now. And if you guys make the jump, it's gonna bring. I can't see it not happening.
Right, it's gonna bring a lot more attention. And one of the things that seems unfair to this point is the game really just kind of puts the Masters off to the side. Like yeah. It's happening. Hey, here's your 20 spots per age group.
Yeah.
You know, go to the back 40 and
yeah.
and duke it out and have a great time.
Yeah.
You know, which is still. Awesome,
yeah.
Right? You wouldn't trade it for anything, no. But it would be nice to see a little more attention paid and a little more.
They've done well though. I have to tell you. So I think it was after the 13 games, because 13 is when we ended up on the field. It was pretty amazing. That was like the first year we were on the field, and I was like, wow. And you know, a lot of people. I'm sure they do know, but I mean, the prize money wasn't great. It was like. Three
right.
grand for first place. And,
like,
you know,
man, so much work.
Just a little bit of disparity compared to what everybody else is getting. But I understand, hey, you know, those guys are going like 5 days and we're only going three. But again, you can't take away from that really working hard to try and get there and do what we need to do. And I remember Justin and Justin, listen, they've, and I'm blessed to be there. And they've done a great job in making it a bigger production for us. And it's been awesome. I mean, every year it's gotten better and better and better. But I remember Justin at the FDR after party. I didn't know if Justin knew who I was. And I was like, hey, Justin, I'm Ron Ortiz. I don't know who you are. He goes, so what do you think? How was it this year? I go, Justin, it was amazing. Being on the field and actually having, you know, soft ground to work out on. And, you know, it was pretty cool. And he goes, yeah, that's great. He goes, yeah, but we're getting a hard time from people about how much we pay you guys. And ironically, so right after I had won in 13, I called my wife and I was like, oh, she's like, I'm so happy you won. The AC just broke on the house. So it's like, here I'm thinking I'm going to use the $3,000 to pay for my trip. And it, you know, as if they have to realize that there's other things involved in our lives that come up constantly. They're not responsible by any means, but it helps. So the following year, I even said, I go, just, you know, just a little bit more would make a difference, bro. Because ironically, things happen in our lives, and the trip out there is expensive. So they bumped it up for us. But every year it's gotten better, and I can't complain, honestly. And they've been so gracious to us as Masters athletes, because realistically, I mean, and I've had people go, man, we love watching the Masters. We love watching you guys. It's inspirational. But inspirational for us as Masters athletes, we watch the young guys, because we realize what it takes to do what they're doing. And it's just, it's crazy, man. You guys are amazing.
Just made me think of the amount of time it takes to get there, the amount of competition that it takes to overcome.
Oh yeah.
And like you said, there's no real shortcuts.
Mm-mm.
When you're dealing with injuries and things like that. I would suspect that steroids or hormone replacement would be very prevalent, especially since it's prescribed for a lot of people, a lot of men, especially like over 50, get, you know, they have low testosterone, like lower than normal. And that's not permitted in CrossFit's bylaws.
No.
How prevalent do you think use of that is across the, of some sort of performance enhancer is across like the masters, you know, age range, not necessarily at the games,
right?
But like just in general.
In general, it's hard to say. I mean, we can look at the typical things that people will look at, like, you know, the trap or the delt. That's like a typical thing. Yeah, your trap and delt development is like pretty typical. If you got somebody that's got massive shoulders that are like ungodly round on the end, look like volleyballs, then you're probably, you know, you may be looking at something like that. So I've been tested for testosterone. It was just something my doctor was like, you know, let's test your T. And he goes, I couldn't prescribe you testosterone. I wanted to do your testosterone.
Right. You're totally normal.
And I was just telling Julie yesterday is that ironically, it's, I think, you know, I have a lot of young guys at work that always, you know, they always insinuate, hey, what are you taking, Ron? What are you taking? I'm like, okay, so, and I'll put out my supplements and go, this is it, guys. Oh, come on.
Where's the good stuff, Ron?
Yeah, what are you thinking? I'm like, bro, lift heavy weight. Deadlift. Heavy squats. The things that we do in CrossFit that promote that testosterone growth in people, those are like proven. That's like a given. I mean, my wife actually had a scare with a mass, and the doctor was like, stop lifting heavy weight because she had high testosterone. So we lift heavy weight. Your body produces testosterone naturally. And it's one of those things that's going to help us in general. I have young guys at work that take testosterone. It's crazy.
Right.
And they're like 23, 24 years old. I was like, if you start taking it now, your body's going to shut down and you won't produce it.
Right. You're going to be on that supplement for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. So it's scary. So a lot of people are looking for the magic bullet, the magic pill. I even have guys that are huge, overweight at work. And so I'm getting off track. So as far as like in our sport, I don't know. You know, I like to be maybe a little naive and think it's not. It may be. I mean, we don't see what goes on behind everybody's private life and stuff like that. But I would like to think that we're a little cleaner than that.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're saying is very accurate. When you lift heavy weights, you elevate testosterone.
Absolutely.
And that's great for anybody who's at an age where their testosterone will be declining.
Yeah.
But the flip side to that is also that CrossFit, people chronically overtrain.
Oh, yeah.
So you have elevated cortisol, which depresses testosterone.
Yes.
So you get guys who are in their 20s or 30s or 40s who are training like crazy.
Yeah.
And they're kind of overwhelming the benefit of lifting heavy weight.
Sure.
And then they could go to a doc and be like, get a test and be like, yo, your T is low.
Yeah.
Like you need, and this happens in Latin America. Like doctors, they look at it as a medical problem.
Yeah.
Not as a symptom of your sport.
Sure.
Right. Which essentially it is. So, I mean, in those cases, now there's a huge incentive to take something to get your testosterone back to normal, not to go above normal,
sure,
but get it back to normal.
Sure.
Why? So you can keep training.
Right. Right. I definitely. So ironically though, too, what's one of the things that helps our cortisol levels is rest.
Oh yeah.
Sleep. Right.
Right.
So you hit those really, that's where ZMA and these other products that have come out that help us sleep more deep. And we were talking about just this morning too, about snoring.
Right.
And not getting good restful sleep. So ironically, I was told again by one of the doctors that, hey, listen, if you get a CPAP, it's going to help you recover better. You're going to get better sleep. So those are all things that we need to look at for those things, because if you get better sleep, you're going to be good.
And you can train more.
Exactly. So if you're a younger athlete, let's say you're still very like you go out a lot and do stuff like that. You're gonna have those probably horrible dips in cortisol levels and stuff like that. But if you're smart, and I know a lot of really, really, really good athletes that, man, they rest a lot. I bet you if you ask Rich how much he rests a day, he probably gets pretty good rest. He's going a lot. He's pretty hyper guy, but he rests a lot. But he's got that. He's afforded that because of where he's at.
His lifestyle is pretty solid when it comes to what demands on his time are.
Yeah. So that's important. I mean, those are all really important factors. I mean, and again, we talked about it, but nutrition. I think those are all really important things too. Making sure that we're getting good rest, good food, all those things will help not only with our daily lives, but feeling better and being able to perform better when we do go out and do crazy stuff.
Yeah. And along the lines of just having the time or the lifestyle that affords you to train, I mean, you're still a firefighter.
Yes.
What are some of the other high level masters athletes? What are their careers?
Oh, you know,
because you're not making $300,000 when you win the games.
No.
So you still need to produce income.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I, the ones that I've run into, so there's a couple guys that are doctors.
Doctors. MDs.
Yeah. MDs.
Wow.
We had, what's that?
That's incredible.
Isn't it amazing?
That's a pretty time intensive profession.
There's teachers. I mean, you have the gambit. You really do. And some of us are getting close to retirement. And that's the ironic thing is that we're like going through this and it's like, wow, man, we're going to be retiring pretty soon. So they're all walks of life. It's just most of us have made some kind of decision to – a lot of them have maybe even come close to retirement, now only own gyms where they've
like
sold their
career.
Businesses.
Yeah.
Robbie Davis, a good buddy of mine from Colorado, he had a shop forever and a day as a mechanic, and he sold his shop, and that's what he does 100% of the time now. He's a coach. He owns a gym. So, again, it's just it's those life-change decisions, the things that make you happy, the things that allow us to settle in and enjoy what we're doing. You know, that's – we're blessed. As Masters athletes, it's again, it's not any easier. There's a lot of sacrifices that some of those guys are making because some of us have kids. You know, some of us have kids at a younger age even. Some of those Masters athletes, I know some of them are just getting into the kids. I'm like, bro, oh, my God, I can't imagine.
This is going to get so hard,
yeah,
man.
This is not going to be easy for you. So my kids are all out of the house and grown and, you know, traveling. And my last one's in college. So
that's great, man.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that. About retirement.
Yeah.
Right? Most, I would say the majority of Americans, I'm not sure what it's like in other cultures, but a majority of Americans look forward to retirement as a time to like rest and play golf and like, you know, get fat and happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Do you think that CrossFit and even the ability to compete changes what retirement looks like
Absolutely.
For a lot of people?
Absolutely. You know, it's the scary thing is, so when our last one, we dropped her off in Michigan, and Doug Chapman was gracious enough to have us up there. My daughter's going to Ypsilanti, like right outside of Eastern Michigan there. And so we drop her off and we were talking and I was like, man, I go, this is going to give us like more time to work out now. My wife's like, what? You know, so, but that's my thought process. And it's part of what keeps me young. I go to the gym and I have a great group of people, the team that hustle hard that made it to the games and my buddy Pierre and Lauren and Pam, these people all like keep me going. It's like, I get in there and a tough thing comes up and they're cheering you on. And that's just in a normal day. And that's what keeps you wanting to do more and more and more. You younger athletes, if you guys are listening, keep us older athletes young. You guys inspire us to keep going. And don't ever not cheer that person on, you know? So
yeah, the idea of staying young as opposed to growing old.
Yeah.
Right. That's important. That's a huge, I mean, if you want to be an active person and like experience things, till the day you die. Like, you have to have that mentality, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was just watching. So I watched, I talked to James at Wadapalooza, and I gave him a big hug. I was watching the video that he did with his mom. Did you see that?
It was
pretty amazing. So it's his, at one point he says in the video, he said, you know, it's a difference between his mom had stopped smoking and become healthier. He goes, at a certain point, he was like, oh, I guess mom's just going to get old and end up dying. And now she's like living life again because she's able to do things she couldn't do. She's out running. She's out exercising. She's calling him about workouts he's done. So there's a brand new like vitality and an excitement about her life now. And that's what we do when we go into the gym. That's what how you affect people when you're there working out next to that master's athlete and encouraging them. We don't want to get old. I think we want to, you know, continue on with our life and feel healthy and young and not feel like we're going to be the burden, you know? And it's funny because I see that daily at the fire department too. You know, you see people getting old, but you see people that are still like really healthy and young that are working out and walking on the beach and doing these things that are so important at 80 years old. We have to, that has to be a part of our lifestyle now if we don't.
Do you think there's an age that people get to where the way they look, the way that they feel outweighs the way they look? Because I still, as a gym owner, I still see that struggle in people. Like, yeah. Even in a CrossFit gym, which is about as functional as you can get, right? Yeah. Performance-based as you can get.
Yeah.
They're still very concerned with the way they look, the way their clothes fit. I'm not sure if that ever goes away entirely.
No.
But maybe you can speak to that. In your experience with the class of people that you hang out with,
yep.
Like when does that mindset like fully shift?
I don't think it ever does. You know, think you still walk by a mirror and you look, oh, I feel pretty good. I look good. So those are important things, I think, to anybody.
Okay.
That's why that a simple comment to somebody, hey, man, you're looking really good, that will go a million miles. I don't care if, you know, the person has like a hair like coming out of the side of their head. You let them know, man. That carries so much weight in life. An encouraging word to anybody at any age is going to make a big difference.
Right. And it could be about anything, but mm-hmm. obviously the way someone looks is, it's an easy thing to comment on.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. And it's something that's personal to them that they're going to care about.
Oh yeah.
Right. Cause like you said, I mean, mirrors are around.
Oh, absolutely. So off that a little bit, but on it, there was a young kid that came to work out, and I remember coaching him, and he had come in, his parents were like trying to get him out of the computer, and he was like a very much introvert, and he started out with this just, you know, rolled shoulders, really quiet in the back of the class. About a year later, I remember him coming in, he was talking to me, he was all excited, he'd gotten onto a rowing team at school, and
oh, nice.
He's looking good, and he got done talking to me. He goes walking out, and he's walking past the window. And he didn't really notice or think probably that I was looking at him from the other side. And I saw him kind of admiring himself and thinking, what a change. Like, not only the physical change, but also the mental, like how much more secure he was as a human being. And that occurs, I think, at any age. As again, if you look at the video with Matt and his mom, it's just, or James and his mom, it's just like the same thing. You can see that take place in anybody as they come in. A month down the road, they start to change. Their body feels better. They feel better. And then you look at them 2 months down the road, and they're walking different, and they have a different attitude, and they're just so much more, you know, approachable with other people. So it's kind of cool what we do does to people. It really does.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I like how you constantly are talking about how you're inspired by younger people mm-hmm. and older people.
Absolutely.
And it goes the same way for most. I think there's a lot of similarities. We've been kind of highlighting what differences there are between being a master's athlete and a regular younger elite athlete. But like you said, insecurity is... It doesn't have an age limit.
No,
you know,
no,
people are going to be conscious of or self-conscious about the way they feel, the way they look. You don't grow out of that necessarily. Maybe you learn how to handle it better, but you never grow out of that.
No.
You never grow out of CrossFit hurting.
No.
Like your first workout, 100 burpees, that still hurts.
It's brutal.
You know?
I'd never do it again now.
Yeah. I mean, those are things that are consistent and timeless. Is there anything that you can think of off the top of your head that you really kind of like encapsulates that idea, you know, that, hey, we're all athletes. Things are the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so being given the opportunity to like travel and go to different places and different gyms to work out and stuff and, you know, sitting in, even here, like, I think this is probably a really, really good example. Like, we're out yesterday doing a workout, and to look around, I have, like, Katrine and Annie and Rich and Austin and all these guys, and I'm sitting working out with these guys amongst just the elite of the elite, but still accepted as the same person.
Right. You were, everybody's doing Team Murph. And it wasn't like you were last picked or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's like it was, everybody's an equal.
Yeah, it's that right there is like that's really honestly what I feel like is it's all about that acceptance that, and everybody treats everybody here with such respect, and I feel like just the same part of it. So as far as like that timeless feeling, it really is. I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, again, I know I've said it 1,000 times, but I really feel blessed that Reebok is seeing that in me as an athlete and seeing that in me as a person and has accepted me in that place too. There's so many amazing athletes that are like that though too. It's like you have the Annie Sakamoto's like you were talking about earlier and the Sean Ramirez and my buddy Robbie Davis, and there's some amazing people that are just Annie was like, she's like the OG, bro.
Yeah, she is the OG.
I used to creep on her on the Nasty Girls website all the time and watch that and just like, gosh, man, that's just amazing people. So, yeah, man, we've come from that point and we're in that point, and it's just like a continuum of like being able to, because you guys are getting older.
Yeah.
And you're going to be in our position, and then you know, we'll be on the outside either hopefully cheering or yelling or screaming or whatever it is. But I hope it continues for a very long time. I really do.
Last question before we kind of wrap this up.
Yeah.
Are you or are any of the masters kind of putting out content like that people can subscribe to or, you know, just learn more about what to do, what not to do,
sure.
As kind of, and almost like as like a business. Like, is there a market that's being created for masters athletes?
Absolutely. So, I mean, obviously, like Ben has that. A few other people have that as well. Sean Ramirez, Annie Sakamoto, myself, and have gotten together with Jason Layden, Chris Henshaw, and Dave Durante, and we have a Strength in Masters.
Strength in Masters.
It's strengthinmasters.com, or you can find a Strength in Masters on Instagram. And we are like programming for Masters athletes, specific for competitive or non-competitive athletes. And our excitement in doing that is the fact that we can direct people in a little better way. We've kind of gone through the other regimens and gone through the coaching where it's like it beats you up every day too much, but we understand more so from that master standpoint. We talk to Jay Layden regularly. We talk to Dave regularly. And the cool thing is with Dave and Chris, they both really understand master's athletes. I mean, I talked to Chris about it early on before we got going with it. He's like, he told me straight out, he goes, Ron, like 70% of my clientele is over the age of like 40.
70%.
Yeah. So there's a huge amount. So he has the young athletes, but a lot of the ones that are on the site, like following his stuff are older athletes. So he said it's like, it's a massive amount.
Well, you know, that makes sense because who can afford it?
Exactly.
Right.
Who's got the disposable income? Yeah. So then that's been one of those things too, that we've presented to each one of even my sponsors along the way and stuff. Those are the ones that are, I mean, there's a lot of young athletes, but I guarantee if they're under the age of maybe 20, they're getting the money from mom and dad to do whatever it,
right.
From us. And then there's a midterm where you become a young professional and those guys can definitely afford it. But for the most part, all of us older athletes that are, you know, over the age of 40 have an established income usually, and we're able to afford a lot more. We're the ones that are probably buying two or three pairs of shoes rather than just one pair. So yeah, absolutely. So, I guess I
would. What kind of stuff is Strength and Masters putting out? Like specifically, is it like a full on day to day program, or is it just?
Yes, actually okay. It is. So what we're trying to do it kind of like an a la carte thing too, because people realize what their strengths and weaknesses are, and they had a test, and we actually had to testing some. How I would want to say so, kind of a testing thing, and they would kind of rank you as to where you, what level
aptitude.
You are, absolutely in your gymnastics, in your aerobic capacity, and in your regular lifting or your WOD, GPP, right? And they were going to associate those things right in with where you need to be with each thing, and then each coach would handle it. And then what Sean, Annie, and I do, we kind of are like the sounding board. So if somebody had a question, they'd send something in, and Sean and Annie and I would answer it.
The support group.
Yep, absolutely. Because we understand, you know, we're there.
Sure.
So, yeah.
I like that setup. That's cool.
Yeah.
So you have experts, you have support. Is there anything else like that out there? Or are you guys kind of like the pioneers?
So there are programs out there for master's athletes. As far as like the sounding board and as far as like the independent for each thing, I don't think there's anything out there right now. No. And so that's what we're trying to really, within the last month or so, we were really trying to get it established. It's hard, you know, setting up a website and stuff is pretty easy, but setting up the programming and everything within that is kind of hard.
Right. And you guys are all around the country, got your own lives training and jobs and everything. So,
and it's not like Chris isn't busy and Dave Durante is not busy. So we've been working with it. Anybody that's got on and kind of got a little frustrated, please be patient with us. We're right there. And if you have questions, feel free to contact me at any time, either on my Instagram or, heck, I'd give my
Well, give them your Instagram. I mean, we already got at Strength and Masters.
Yep.
But where can people follow you?
So it's going to be Strong_Ortiz.
Strong Tees.
Strong Ortiz.
Yeah. Strong Ortiz. Yeah. Okay.
And send me a message, and I promise I'll get back to you. I'm better at Instagram than I am at Facebook, but Facebook is just Ron Ortiz, and I am going to kind of. We learned here at the Athlete Summit I got to get an athlete page together. So,
all right, Ron. Well, thanks a lot, man, for taking the time to sit down. It's been a great interview. Sure.
Thank you. Buddy.
Make sure you guys are following us at BTB Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, and subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, not just downloading episodes, but being a subscriber because you get access to better content. Give us a 5-star rating, and hopefully we'll be back again next year at the summit, and I know I'll see you before then. So.
I hope so.
Yeah, thanks, Ron.
Thank you, buddy.